Good evening. You're listening to Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland on BBSRadio.com, the number one worldwide, yes, I said worldwide, internet talk radio network on the planet. Are we not, Lisa? Oh, yes, we are. This evening we have Lisa Schiavone, good, pretty little Italian girl. I wish you could see her. She is part of the Archetypal Academy, a holistic education in archetypes. I always say that incorrectly, Lisa, healing and soul. She is the department head and director of archetypical, did I say it right?
Archetypal,
hypnotherapy. Lisa has a C.HT., MA candidate behind her name. Tell us what all that means.
Okay, Elaine. First of all, thank you for having me on tonight. I'm really excited. And the CCHT stands for Certified Clinical Hypnotherapist. And that title is given by the American Council of Hypnotist Examiners. They're one of the umbrella organizations that oversee the standardization of hypnotherapy in America and perhaps internationally now. And the MA candidate is that I'm enrolled to get my master's at Columbia Commonwealth University in spiritual counseling.
I'm impressed. I have to tell the public that I've known Lisa for, oh gosh, how long, Lisa? 20 years maybe? Has it been that long?
It's pretty close to that. Pretty close. It's got to be at least 17 or 18.
And I have to say that I was around when Lisa started her training. Didn't you do some original training in California, Lisa?
Yes, I studied at the Alchemy Institute. Back then it was called the Alchemical Hypnotherapy Institute, and now I think it's the Alchemy Institute of Healing Arts. And that was with David Quigley in Santa Rosa, California. And that was in 1989.
That was a long time ago. You're the co-developer of why do I have such a hard time with that word?
It could be archetypal or archetypal. And people even say archetypical. So if you want to say any of them, it's all fine with me.
Hypnotherapy, how does that differ from somebody being hypnotized? Because I know with hypnotherapy you talk people down and it's nice and quiet and you get them in a meditative state. But how is that different from being hypnotized? Why is that word common with what you do?
Ah, well, in a way, almost all hypnotherapy, except the very clinical hypnotherapy, is in a way archetypal. But the reason that we were brave enough to go ahead out on a limb there and call ourselves archetypal hypnotherapy is because using the trance state, we actually engage the archetypes, and archetypes being a term coined by Carl Jung to represent these universal energies that flow through the psyche and into life and have a language of their own that manifests kind of in the way life is going. And so in archetypal hypnotherapy, we actually go in and engage these energies and work with them directly.
Now, how do you work with them?
Well, in a way, when anybody calls something an archetype or says that they're engaging them directly like we do, it's in a way arbitrary because these energies, they're universal energies. They're bigger than form. They're bigger than the whole collection of the things that they govern. But in this arbitrary way, we've grouped them into 12, honoring a 12-ness of life, and 12 being a sacred number. There's also a 22 archetype system. In a way, the Tarot has the 22 archetype system in the major arcana, but then you could even take all the rest of the cards out as archetypes as well. So it's sort of arbitrary when we're saying the archetypes. There's no way to actually put your finger on one. But
I was about to ask you, what is an archetype and what does it look like and what does it mean? I think you should.
Well, with this arbitrary system, though, when you give it the container to fill, it will go ahead and take a form and be very effectively conversant. So you can be very specific and say that you want to go in and talk to the archetype of the warrior. And the way that image presents itself, that archetypal image presents itself from that person's psyche, says a lot about how the warrior energy is doing in them. It's sort of a barometer.
Okay, so you wouldn't take the Empress from the, or can an archetype show up as one of the major cards?
Absolutely. Okay. That's another arbitrary system that universal energy would come in and fill up. So yes, you could ask the Empress to come, and if the Empress came, she would be representing how that person is doing with all the Venusian things in their life, like love.
And okay.
Venusian, Venus ruling love and sensuality and what you enjoy and pleasures and tastes and colors and textures and art and singing and dance and social graces, self-esteem, what you value, and money.
Okay. You just tapped into astrology. And one
yes.
of the things that I know that you do is you were the developer of archetype, I will get that right before the end of the show, balancing, which is a method of exploring the types and astrology in trance. How did that come to you to do that?
Well, just a couple of years into being a hypnotherapist, I ran across a woman in Austin named Diane Dernal, and she was a student of Ed Steinbrecher of Dome in California. And they had a very well-developed system of working with the archetypes in meditation, and they based this, they had a wonderful combination of the major arcana of the tarot and the 22 astrological archetypes, which were the 12 signs and 8 planets and the sun and the moon.
Sounds complicated.
Well, it's complicated.
I read the tarot cards and teach the tarot cards, and within the tarot cards, of course, there is knowledge of the astrology, which I know just enough about to get myself in trouble. Wouldn't even begin to try to do a chart. But there's also numerology, there's the astrology, there's color therapy. Do any of the other classes of knowledge enter into the work that you do, such as color, numerology, any of that?
Yes, it actually all is able to be correlated. The numerology isn't quite as strong as, say, tarot and astrology. And at the Archetypal Academy, what Charles and Nin Bibeau have done is that they have taken these 12 archetypes that you can work with. You can work with them either as an astrologer or completely independent of astrology, as its own archetypal system. Similar to what Carolyn Mays is doing with her archetype cards.
I haven't seen those.
They're really fun.
She's
got a lot.
We would love to invite callers. If you're living here in the United States, take this number down. Pen ready. Paper ready. 1-877-270-8714. Let me give you that U.S. number again. Area code 877, that's not really an area code, 270-8714. Should you happen to be in Canada, 1-888-284-3264. Let's do that one again for Canada. 888-284-3264. We would love for you to call in with your questions. Lisa has been doing this a long time. She's been teaching it a long time. And as you can tell, she's passionate about what she does. She's excited about sharing her knowledge. She's not just the head of the school. She was a developer of some of these studies. So you're kind of talking to the horse's mouth here. She's a cute little Italian horse, by the way. Lisa, how did this school get started? You mentioned their names a moment ago, but where is this school? How could someone attend? How can they reach you?
Okay, we're in Boulder, Colorado, and our telephone number is 303-443-4363, and that's available also on our website, which is archetypalacademy.com, and archetypal is archetypal academy.com.
Catch your breath, Lisa.
Yeah. One thing I would like to say before I let you know how the school came into being is that when a client comes in, this is completely simple. All of the complexities are going on in the analysis process that's going on in the facilitator. But the process itself is very simple. It's almost so simple that the results are amazing, that you could have that much fun with something that simple and come out of it so enriched and with actual steps to take in waking life and with your strengths encouraged and the challenges put into context. And so somebody can come in with, let's say, something about relationship or something about money or using
challenges or issues.
Yes, issue they come in with. They just come in with the issue and we facilitate a very simple process in trance that puts them in touch with these energies that are actually there ready to assist them.
How do you find this to be different from, say, going to a licensed therapist or a psychologist or a psychiatrist? Now, we all know that psychiatrists can administer drugs, and that's not something that your practice is a part of. But for the clinician, the therapist, and the psychiatrist, how is that different from what you do?
Hypnotherapy in general tends to be pretty short-term therapy. It's very effective. We have an interview process so that we get all the history that we need to move forward. We set goals. We set attainable and meaningful goals. And we can pretty much estimate a therapy plan. But it's not that long. It's not going to be like 10 or 15 years. It may be only 3 sessions.
Okay. Does the medical profession use your services or refer people to you in addition to what they're doing with the client?
Yes. They use us as complementary and alternative therapies.
So there's support even in the medical field?
Oh, yes. There's a wonderful whole health center here in Boulder called Helios, and it's an integrative medicine center, and they use us especially for things like compliance. If a patient in a medical program is having a hard time doing what they need to do to get better, then we can use hypnotherapy to go straight into the unconscious or subconscious. Those words just differ by which school of thought you're coming from. but we can go right in there and find out what the message of the illness is, so that the person can get the message and let go of the illness, and we can find out. What's that?
Go ahead.
Oh, and so they get the message. We see illness as an archetypal messenger. The whole body you can break down into what archetype in just that 12 archetype system, which is very simple. What archetype rules different body parts, organs, whole systems? If the lymphatic system is having a problem, like with autoimmune disorders, then we go to the mystic. If the person's having migraines, we go to the warrior. If they're having problems with the kidneys, we go to the lover. So we can engage the archetypes in that way, or we can go to traditional hypnotherapy and just find out, like with compliance, what's going on in there that the person doesn't want to stay with their program. Let's say that it's nutritional changes, all kinds of lifestyle changes. We can support lifestyle changes for doctors.
Oh, that's an important statement, Lisa. Say
that again. We can support lifestyle changes that are prescribed by doctors.
That means like stopping smoking, drinking. Have you worked much with drug and alcohol abuse?
Not so much. There's a very specialized system with that, and we really do work as complementary to that. With drugs and alcohol, we do require that somebody is under the care of a physician, and if that physician requests that they be also with a 12-step program, unless they're already completely off of the substance for a year or more.
So you stay in line very much with the medical side, truly as an alternative. You're not out there saying we can cure everything and anything. You're working
absolutely. That's our actual responsibility to our clients.
I noticed that you have a counseling and wellness center. Folks, if you're out there with us, go online. I was online a couple of days ago, and it really is a website that's easy to move around in as far as the school is concerned. But in order to understand what Lisa is doing and presenting as a healing system, it's important that you know about the school and what they do. There may be something else that you would like to take. I noticed that there's also a distant learning process under departments and classes that you have here. What I was going to say is, tell me about the Counseling and Wellness Center.
Okay, our Counseling and Wellness Center is located here in Boulder. We're off of Pearl Street. That's a nice famous street in Boulder. Lots of fun to be here. And we have different modalities, healing modalities that are offered. The counseling is especially done by Dr. Charles Bibeau, who is one of the founders of the school, and he's been at this about 30 years. Charles is very talented and very brilliant, as is his wife, Nin, and this is their fourth school that they've birthed. And one of their schools, the CITP, the Colorado Institute of Transpersonal Psychology, or maybe it was psychotherapy, I haven't seen it spelled out for a while, actually became the transpersonal psych department at Naropa University, which is an amazing university here that unites Eastern and Western psychology and practices. So our wellness center, then people could come in for counseling, for dream work, for behavior modification. We have a somatics department, and Chardin Bersteau, the department head and instructor there, is part of our wellness center, and he is just a master. He puts his hands on you and and the energy body inside the physical body or around the physical body or however you want to see it, it just lights up. He knows those inner workings, and he just knows, and he's working with Chinese medicine and visceral manipulation and all of the things that he can name that he does. But where he's really a master is that the body just wakes up and it knows that somebody's listening and that it can heal. And Charles especially provides wonderful archetypal astrology, Jungian astrology, and also Jungian dream work. And pretty soon here, I'll be offering those as well. Charles is my mentor in this department, and I don't think it's something you learn in the blink of an eye. But he, what he'll do with archetypal astrology is he'll look in and see what are the dominant archetypes at work in someone and in their life and in their body and in their dreams and in the way they breathe and in the way they relate to others. And he'll find out if they are getting expression. And if they're not getting expression, he'll educate the person in what to do to give those tendencies and qualities and talents room to move and express in their life.
Again, that sounds complicated.
But oh.
For you, you've done that sort of thing, and you've been a witness to it for so long.
Yes.
It is second nature for you.
It's so simple with Charles. When you're in a session with Charles, it's so simple that at the end you go, well, were we just sitting there having coffee? He's such a master. It just happens. And it seems like it was all your own idea.
Speaking of a session, describe a hypnotherapy session. If I were to come in and say, help me stop smoking.
Okay, to stop smoking,
I don't
someone
smoke,
would come in and, what's that?
I don't smoke, by the way, public. Just an example. There's so many folks out there these days that are just struggling to stop smoking, so I thought I would try that out.
Yes. So the first thing that we would do in a stop smoking session is an interview to find out what the person's getting from smoking. One of the things about archetypal behavior modification that's different from normal behavior modification, which might be like an override of the behavior, is that we investigate what is the person getting, and we find a new way, a higher way, that they can get that thing, because sometimes that's a very healthy thing, like protection or comfort or grounding and centeredness or taking a break from their rushed lifestyle. With smoking, one of the most amazing things that somebody is sometimes trying to get is to breathe.
Interesting. Okay.
Can you imagine that? It's that our culture doesn't have breathing practices, and so the person is actually slowing down, touching their lips, taking a deep breath, letting it out slowly, taking a moment to relax. And so one of the things that we do is some re-education about breathing, giving the person permission to take those breaks, giving the person permission to breathe, giving the person alternative means of grounding and protection. And what happens is, through good old traditional post-hypnotic suggestion, when this newer, higher way emerges from them, that's what's so wonderful, is it's so client-empowering. The new way will actually arise from the person. They know what they really want and what they're really trying to get. That's what the trance state accesses that the conscious mind has no clue about. And so when this higher way of getting what they need arises, and we use post-hypnotic suggestion to say, now every time that they want to access that feeling, that they have this new way to do it, then the actual smoking loses it loses its power, it loses its appeal, it just becomes very pale compared to this new way of getting what they need.
Sounds like you've had some success with that.
Yes, absolutely. Also, I'll just throw in there also that there's some shamanistic relationship with tobacco, of course, being one of the sacred herbs, that part of what I've had success with is re-acknowledging the sacredness of the tobacco. The person can't abuse it by just smoking it without thinking in a habitual way anymore.
That's a powerful statement.
Yeah,
it is.
It's beautiful. That's one of those sessions where everybody cries. Because getting back in touch with the sacred, that's maybe even one of the main definitions of what archetypal hypnotherapy is. We see the archetypes as if you took the oneness of the divine, God, creator, universe, whatever someone wants to call that divine, and take that oneness, it's almost like the archetypes are 12 categories of the divine that can be accessed. And when they are harnessed, it's almost like, oh, John Randolph Price had a book called The Angels Within Us. And he talked about the archetypes being angels that are just servants of the divine, ready to do your bidding, to help you have a fulfilling life, to help you have health and well-being, to help you find your life purpose.
Tell people where that book is and who wrote it.
That's John Randolph Price,
mm-hmm.
And it's called The Angels Within Us. And
that
he
book
did
was
a. That's an old book, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And Ed Steinbrecher's book is called The Inner Guide Meditation.
And I have read that book and given a dozen copies away. You gave me that book.
Oh, wonderful. Yes, it is such a great source of information.
Mm-hmm.
And he taught it in a way where it didn't use hypnotherapy at all. He engaged the archetypes through meditation. And I spoke to him a few years into doing this work and said, Ed, look, I'm a hypnotherapist and you don't do hypnotherapy, and there's several other things in his book that I wasn't in alignment with. And so I said, what do I do? What do I do to teach your work? And he said, just say where you got it. And so that's where I got it, through Diane Dernal in Austin, Texas, in 1990.
Those of you folks out there that might be in the Austin area, is she still in this area, that if they might like to
see her? I don't know. I honestly don't know. I lost touch with her.
How do you spell her last name? Did you find her on the internet?
You know, it was Dernal at that point, and I think it's Baker now.
We'll have to go on a search for her, won't we?
Yes. Let's see if we can find her, because she is a great practitioner. I think Ed's people are called initiators, and she is a very talented inner guide meditation initiator.
If you could teach the public something right now that could help them after we hang up that they can do besides learn how to breathe, what would it be? What would you tell them?
Well, my very favorite technique is the one that I use for a very first session with somebody, no matter what they've come in for. And that's that we go in and we build their sacred circle. I say we, but I'm facilitating that person and counting them into a deeply relaxed state. And a person can do this on their own by just sitting in a very comfortable position and allowing their breath to drop to the belly and imagining maybe a protective light around them and simply counting down 10 stairs. And they give themselves the expectation that when they count from 10 down to 1, is it okay that I say this or could people be driving? We're on the internet, right? So people are not driving. If you're driving, turn it off for a couple of minutes.
Just remember what she's saying. Okay.
So, yes, and then come back.
There you go.
Counting from 10 down to 1 and giving the expectation that at the count of 1, they can find themselves in a very natural place that they're very comfortable, and then tune in to all of the senses there, what it feels like under their feet, what the air feels like, how it smells, what the light is like, what they hear, and what the landscape is like. And then what I do in a first session is ask the child self to come along, because that's like a guide to the guides, and it's a very important part of self that sometimes gets dismissed when we're in survival mode and is the door to all kinds of creativity, just having those new eyes and embracing life, and also the door to any trauma that's happened. But for this exercise, it's just to introduce and reconnect with the child self. And then within that natural place, within that special place, to find the sacred place. And this happens in everyone's session. That's when the word archetypal really applies to this is a universal truth that lives within us. There is a special place. Even if it's out in space, you know, there's a special place, there's a sacred place within the special place. And in that sacred place, a person can build their own sacred circle. And the circle, again, is one of those archetypes, that symbol of wholeness and integration and completeness and union, especially union. So they build this circle, and then we call upon some shamanistic practices there of clearing the circle and sweetening the circle and bringing the child self back into the body, which is an integration process, even though it's just this simple thing of, okay, bring the child back in the body, and to sit in the center of that circle. And they've already cleared it and sweetened it, and we've also set the intention that this circle can only be crossed by invitation. So this sets up inside this very natural, very holistic set of boundaries. So here's the sacred circle and the person sitting in the center, and I'll ask them to tune in to what it feels like in the center of that circle and let them know that that's their own energy. That's what it feels like to be centered. And then use post-hypnotic suggestion to say that now wherever they find themselves, whoever they're with, whatever they're doing, wherever they are, that they can re-access that feeling just by saying the word center.
You know, we hear people say that all the time. Go center yourself. Go settle down. Take a deep breath. Center yourself. And for most of us in the working public, to me, years ago, that used to mean just go be still. It didn't say to me, go within.
Ah.
Now, you just shared a very, very important clue to those of you out there that don't understand what centering yourself means. It doesn't mean just be still, be quiet, and stop thinking. It means truly going inward and getting to know yourself. And in some ways, connecting the chakras. But that's another show. But going within, Lisa just shared that secret with you, and I don't think you realized it because it's so second nature to you. Take a deep breath, Lisa. Here are some phone numbers for you. If you're in the U.S., please give us a call. We'd love to hear your questions or your comments or stories if you're participating in this work. Area code, 877-270-8714 is our U.S. number. Our Canada number is 888-284-3264. My guest this evening is Lisa Schiavone. She is the department head of archetypal hypnotherapy at the Archetypal Academy, a holistic education in archetypes, healing, and soul in Boulder, Colorado. Are you really in Boulder? I thought you were outside of Boulder.
Well, I'm in a neighborhood that's just outside of Boulder called Gun Barrel. But my address is still a Boulder address, and our actual office and school is on Pearl Street in Boulder, Colorado.
When you work with this technique, and you're very polished with it, when you work with this technique today, what do you want this technique to be doing in, say, 5 years? How would you like this to be used worldwide? Because I know that this is being used more and more. It seems like I'm seeing more and more schools pop up, more and more teachers. I see it advertised more and more, hypnotherapy. And we need to tell the public that there are a number of different types of hypnotherapy. But how do you want to see this used?
Well, one of the transformational qualities of hypnotherapy to me is that it re-educates the whole person, that both the questions and the answers arise from within. So
Say that again. I'm going to interrupt you. Say that again.
Both the questions and the answers arise from within.
Okay.
So there's a very empowering transformational quality to this work. Once a person has gone within and discovered their own guidance and gotten their own answers and applied that to their life and seen it just domino out into all areas of their life, something that seems so simple, touching everything about them, then they can't, it's one of those things like you can't uncook the carrots.
Okay.
It has a quality of letting a person know that the answers are within, that and even let's say in the situations where you have a counselor or an advisor or a psychic counselor or someone looking at your astrology or going to a doctor, that even that, a person who's doing a process like this regularly and has established that the sense of their inner being, which we could refer to as soul, their sense of soul or soulfulness, then they know that when they're consulting someone, that they're consulting an outpicturing of their own wisdom. So it's
powerful.
Yes.
Yes, when you stop and think about it.
Yes, so powerful. It's so powerful. Mm-hmm. Even when you know that you're guided to go to the right doctor, that lets you know that thing that you're not finding out on your own, or consulting a psychic counselor about that thing that might just be a little too stubborn inside to see that piece of information. It's still connecting in with your own guidance and saying, use this vehicle to communicate to me in a way that's for my highest good.
Hmm.
So I'd like to see that in 5 years, that people know that their inner being is wise, that their body, especially when you work through things like cravings or different forms of addiction, that there's a body wisdom that can be refined and consulted, and an inner wisdom that can be refined and consulted, and a decision-making process. Gosh, one of the things that I left out is we do subpersonality work, and with subpersonality work...
Explain what that is for those out there that are not familiar.
Subpersonality work is to simply address the different parts of yourself that are in charge of different activities in your life. So they're just different parts of specialized identity. So there's an inner judge that knows how to discern things, but it might be carrying old programs that is saying that you're wrong. or this is wrong. It might get very black and white. Well, we can go in and talk with this specialized, compartmentalized part of self and weed out all of those old programs. It's almost like writing your own mythology, your own story, rewriting it, and find out perhaps where those limiting beliefs came from. I know we used to refer to it as the tapes. whose tapes are playing?
Right.
And
I haven't heard that in a long time.
I know, yeah. Isn't it? It's an old term. And we can release that and clear that and enliven the person's own sense of discernment, their own sense of maybe, let's see, that part of self is also good at time management, at good disciplines like stretching every morning or eating things that support the body. It can enforce decisions that are made. And so this same part of self, can it what?
Can it enforce our willpower?
Actually,
sorry.
It can. If you, it can. I would go more for finding out what somebody's trying to get that they're having to use their willpower to control, and finding a higher way to get that thing, and then using the subpersonality to enforce that new behavior.
You know, the subpersonality, that's a term I wasn't familiar with. I know what you're talking about, just being in the metaphysical world as much as I am, but I had not ever heard it called that before.
Ah. Yeah, that came, let's see, who actually called it subpersonalities? I'm trying to think because, I don't have all that information in front of me. I've got the whole history of how we came to this work. And David Quigley has an amazing version of this work where he just gets all these different parts of self, cleans up all of the old programs, and gives them new jobs that are suitable to these parts of self. That would be like the judge and the rebel. The rebel knows how to say no to anything. So the same rebel that may be eating and gaining weight to tell family members that they don't have to do it that way can turn around and be in charge of losing weight to shock everybody. We just give them new jobs that support where the person really wants to go with their life.
I need to
and
talk
there may
to the
be,
rebel.
There may be an adventurer. There may be an adventurer that in the past has just jerked the person up out of every career or relationship that they're trying to build, and they head for India or Hawaii or wherever they go for their adventure. And we can give that one the new job of the adventure of the career or the adventure of exploring this new way of being that they haven't engaged in before. So it's just making sure that no parts of self get lopped off, that they all get a way of expression in the life. And this is where it might get a little bit complicated, But the archetypes and the subpersonalities kind of mirror each other. It's almost like the subpersonalities are how those energies are working as part of the personality, and the archetypes are how they're working on a larger universal level.
Well, I would like to study that more. I would like to have more.
You know, I can give you an example of that. This is a really good one. I have a subpersonality that's kind of like a gypsy. Does that surprise you?
No.
So she's the adventurer, and she likes studying new things and going new places and exploring different cultures and different belief systems, and that's all very adventurous. But the archetype that's connected to this same subpersonality is connected to the Temperance card. It's Sagittarius. It's the Temperance card, or the Wheel of Fortune, and which is Jupiter, the ruler of Sagittarius. And when I go to talk to this archetypal level of Temperance or Sagittarius or Jupiter, I get this huge golden angel that gives me a cellular experience of be the gold. That's very different. A gypsy that likes to run around and do really fun things and learn things, and this huge angel that shifts me on a cellular level.
Have you ever worked with schizophrenic personalities?
No, we cannot. That is out of our area of expertise. There's a thing, there's a phenomenon with different forms of delusion that trance work exacerbates rather than improves.
Okay.
So.
Because you want that opposites attract kind of thing, but you don't want to encourage it in a negative way.
Right. Well, we can work with bipolar. Especially somebody that's bipolar that is on medication, and we can work in that complementary and alternative way with their doctors it's almost like re-educating all levels of the person and their energy system about the middle path, because there's that attraction to the very highs and the very lows, and that middle path may seem empty to the person, but there's a richness in the middle path that can be explored in trance that can have its own attraction. I've seen that work.
I know you do, I'd say probably 90% of your work in trance. Can you do some of this in conversation?
Absolutely. Yes. That's why I went to the academy. That's the thing that I left out about the academy, is our wonderful core program. I teach in the hypnotherapy department, but I also teach some in the core curriculum, which if you go on the website, you'll find it listed under psychotherapy and counseling, and also partly under archetypal coaching, which is all done out of trance. And what we do there is you'll see it on the website, is gnosis and praxis, and there's three levels of each. And that to me is such a beautiful core program. The hypnotherapy and somatics are then specializations that somebody can add to those, or they can pursue them on their own. But it's a really rich education to have the whole core curriculum and then add either the whole somatic program or the whole hypnotherapy program or parts of each. And yes, that's all done in conversation.
Just for those folks that might be a little bit concerned at first about just turning themselves over to someone. Because some people do have
definitely
thing about hypnosis or trance work. And this might be a good time to explain the difference between trance work and being hypnotized and hypnotherapy.
Okay. One of the... all of those answers tried to come out all at the same time. trance is a natural state that we go in and out of throughout the day. And one of the natural trance states is like highway hypnosis. It's happening daydreaming, watching TV because the body is relaxed and the eyes are fixed. And then, unfortunately, with the TV one, the natural state of suggestibility that goes with a trance state is open to things that you might not want to embrace, like the commercials that tell you what to buy and what to wear and how to be. And these are all natural states of light trance. And so in hypnosis, That's a state of relaxation, the state of suggestibility that comes with it, access to the subconscious mind. All of these things, that's just the plain hypnosis, or what you might see on stage. Stage hypnosis would be using these things. One of the good pieces of news about stage hypnosis is that a stage hypnotist knows how to do suggestibility testing to find people in the audience that are naturally open to suggestion and maybe have a little bit of a performer in them. And the things that they do up on the stage are things that they really want to do. So
the ham in all of us.
Yes. Yeah. He finds the one that has the suggestibility plus the ham, and they get to let go of their inhibitions for a moment and do what they really wish they could be doing. So it's not really overriding the will. A person always has a choice in hypnosis. So what they do is they make it look like they're overriding their will, but they're not really. They just know how to tap in to that performer. And hypnotherapy then uses this natural state of relaxation and the natural state of suggestibility and this natural access to the subconscious mind to help realize the goals of the person that's coming in for therapy. So, and all hypnosis is self-hypnosis. A person actually takes those suggestions and says them to themselves within their head. They internalize that command and decide whether to follow it or not.
There has to be a lot of trust, though, I would think, in oneself if you're doing that, but also in the person whose voice you're listening to. Like I would trust. Yeah. Some people are more comfortable with a man's voice. Some people more comfortable with a female. Some people more comfortable with just the energy that they get from one or the other.
Yes, there's a paternal style and a maternal style. And the maternal style more invites the person into that relaxed state and invites them to carry out the commands. And the paternal style delivers them as a command and doesn't couch it in softer words.
Just says you're going there, basically.
Yes. And there's a comfort in that as well. You know, if someone has a challenge that they're trying to get some help with, and that's the kind of suggestion that they're more open to, the subconscious mind is always looking to carry out a command. And the more kind of wishy-washy things are, the more it's searching for how to how to carry out that command. It can get the command that you need to slow down and take a break, and it can go, well, you know, how are we going to do that? And choose, the subconscious mind can mistakenly choose illness as the way to slow down. Whereas if you are going in consciously and working with the subconscious mind and you say, we need to slow down, we need to take a break, and here are some options of how we can do it, and does the conscious mind agree to carry out this decision? And it's going to be one afternoon a week that's spent reading a book or taking a walk, and they hold to that agreement, then something like illness becomes completely superfluous. It just, the choice between the two would certainly pale.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
I notice in your on the list here, it says distance learning. How would we do that? How would the public do that?
Okay, you would contact us at the school, and we send out tapes of the classes, and the student would review the tapes, and we also ask that journals be written that are part of the class that shows an evidence of learning, and so we communicate by email, if possible, or by regular postal mail, if that's the choice. And you actually have a one-on-one relationship with the instructor, and carry out the education in that way.
Let's tell them how to find you again. You are at the Archetypal Academy, a holistic education in archetypes, healings, and soul in Boulder, Colorado. A phone number is 303-443-4363. That is to the school itself, right?
Yes.
Okay. And your website is, tell us again?
It's archetypalacademy.com. So that's ARCHETYPAL Academy, ACADEMY.com.
And do you have a website, a personal website, where they could communicate directly with you, or would you like to share a phone number, a different phone number for a direct-to-you call?
Okay, all of my information is there on the site. Right now, I'm just going straight through that site because I have... I do new and full moon journeys once a month here, especially the full moon ones, and every so often a new moon, especially if it has a wonderful opportunity in it. And we gather together and talk about the pair of archetypes that's naturally available during that full moon. And so we have a little talk about the archetypes, and then we do... A facilitated journey and go get messages from the archetypes of how they would want to be expressed during this cycle, and then we come back and journal and share, and it's wonderful. So because that's one of my main activities that goes on every month, I've been operating through the archetypalacademy.com website. And you can find me there, Lisa at archetypalacademy.com. There's a link to click on to send an email. And then my number is also there, especially if you click on Full Moon Journeys under events. And it's 303-818-0358.
Okay. One last time, we have about 5 more minutes or so, just for those late-time joiners that came with us. This is Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland on bbsradio.com. Our call number to call in is 877-270-8714. If you're in Canada, 1-888-284-3276.
1-800-664. Let me tell you at this time, all of these shows are archived. So if you didn't hear the whole show, or if you'd like a better understanding, because we don't hear everything all at the first time, you will be able, probably within the week, to be able to listen to and download, the archive for this show and others. Next week we're going to be having Chris Kopasz on. We're going to be following her growth. She's also going to a school, and we'll share that with you next week. But we're going to follow her spiritual growth and her psychic growth, although she's not new exactly to this. She's just now, as she says, getting serious. So she would be one of those wonderful people that would be applying to Lisa's school, probably would be accepted. And she just happened to do it someplace else. This is not everything that she's studying. Lisa, I noticed that you've got shamanic journey work here. How did you get into shamanic journey work, and how does it fit in with what you do?
Well, there's something about accessing this internal path inside to guidance that it's an ancient form, and now we've got modern shamanism as well. That ancient form of going within to tap into to guidance and transformation and healing. And so a couple of years into studying hypnotherapy, I went to the Foxfire Institute of Experiential Shamanism and apprenticed there for a couple of years. And really, what I learned in that training, I have so seamlessly integrated into archetypal hypnotherapy that it's part of it. That sacred circle comes from there. We also, one of the easiest forms of guidance to access is your animal guides. And people feel comfortable accessing an animal guide, an animal helper or totem or ally, when they may not feel ready to access any other kind of guidance. So, and especially something like a protector animal. And the stories, are so fascinating of someone bringing a protector animal into their life, and they think maybe they're just making it up, but they can walk through the hallway at work, and people that have intimidated them in the past will kind of give them a little wider berth if they imagine that their animal is with them. Mm-hmm. So there's all kinds of stories. Tonight we didn't even get into the personal stories of how these things have unfolded in people's lives personally.
But
that's
will.
One of them.
I would like you to come back in 2 or 3 months, and if you would like, we can have one of your students or one of your associate teachers, however you would like to do it. I personally would rather have a student. Come and share how the work, how the studies have affected their life and some of the negative and positive, positive and negative ways things have affected as they've gone through the training process, and maybe some of the stumbling blocks that they have come across, and some of the things that just opened wide open for them. So this won't be your last visit on our show.
Oh, thank you.
I'd like to come back.
Thank you. I would like to say, just in that vein, that when a person finds out what their life purpose is, when they have a sense of mission, that all the challenges in life then have a context, and all the celebrations have a context, and we can see the cycles of the harder times and the happy times, and it all seems to then have more meaning. So that's part of the very centerpiece of archetypal work, as archetypal psychotherapy and archetypal hypnotherapy, and you can tune into that through James Hillman's book, The Soul's Code.
The Soul, S-O-U-L, Soul's Code?
S-O-U-L, apostrophe S, Code.
Code.
The Soul's Code.
Aren't you in the process of completing one?
Oh, yes, thank you. Yes, I have my astrology flip book that should be available very soon, and I'll get that up on the website so that people can see it. It's very colorful and very easy, and brings that whole 12 archetype system of astrology into a very user-friendly format.
I'm looking forward to seeing that myself. I know you've been working on that for a while. Don't you have another book that you're working on, too?
I've got several cooking. And most of them are the workbooks that accompany my classes, because everything that I facilitate, I also teach. I've got a passion for sharing it. So there's lots of workbooks stacked up
that you need to get to the public.
Yes. Thank you.
Spirit's talking here. I can't thank you enough, Lisa, for being with us tonight. Lisa Schiavone, she is the director and department head of archetypal hypnotherapy with the Archetypal Academy, a holistic education in archetypes, healing, and soul in Boulder, Colorado, and she will be back with us. You can find her on the website, archetypalacademy.com, or call her at 303-443-4363. Expect to see her in about 2 months, with or without a student, but hopefully she'll bring somebody with her that can share their journey and how the school has helped them, how the process has helped them, and above all, how Lisa has helped them. Thank you so much, Lisa. You will come back, right?
Oh, yes, and it's such a delight to be with you, Elaine. It really warms my heart.
In the meantime, this has been Going Global for Spirit with Elaine Ireland. You can find me at ElaineIrelandPsychic.com. All my information is there. We thank you for being with BBSRadio.com, the number one worldwide internet talk radio network on the planet. We look forward to being with you next week, same time, same place, with my guest, Chris Kopasz. We'll be following her growth. Thank you, folks. Don't forget to share a smile. Thank you, Lisa. We'll talk later. Good night.
Thanks, Elaine. Good night.